Last week we saw Jesus as a man of sorrows. He knew grief, sadness, rejection, and yet he was willing to endure this for us. Through the cross and resurrection, he provides rescue for our souls. And we get to see inside his heart how he loves us, how his heart breaks when we reject what he knows will bring us life and peace. This morning, we get another glimpse into Jesus' love for us. The text said when he saw the crowd, he had compassion upon them. Compassion is defined as a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. As we look at Mark, but also combine the other Gospels, we find some different reasons. Jesus knew the people were distressed. He sees their problems, their unmet needs, their pain, and he puts his own needs on the back burner in order to meet the needs of the crowd. The apostles had returned from their mini mission trip that Jesus had sent them on, and they want to report. They're eager to report back to Jesus. And this coincides with Jesus learning about John the Baptist's death. And so Jesus says to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and let's rest a while. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. He just wanted some time so he could grieve John the Baptist. And also for the apostles to unwind from their journey and they could all just recharge. And so they got into a boat to go to a place in the countryside to be alone. Well, at the same time, the people have been flocking to Jesus. These people are longing for something, and they thought they could find it in Jesus. Jesus taught with authority like no one else. But perhaps more important to the crowd is that Jesus was healing diseases. He was casting out demons, and the crowd has no intention of just leaving Jesus alone. And they watch where the boat is going or where they think it's going. Maybe they were even rowing in such a way where from the shore they could still just see a glimpse of Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. And so people were coming in from all around and they were running on foot to get to where Jesus was going to be. And it says that they got there ahead of him. And so picture in your mind Jesus and the apostles, and they're rowing, they're anticipating a time of rest. Maybe they even could see the crowd on the shore moving along with them and growing as it was moving. And when they get to their destination, there are thousands of people crowding all along the shoreline. This would not be a day for Jesus to get rest. It says, when they went ashore, they saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In Matthew chapter 9, in the parallel account, it says that the people were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, Jesus called himself the good shepherd. And we've been down this road before. If Jesus is the shepherd, that makes us sheep. And being called a sheep isn't a compliment. Jesus sees us as sheep that are prone to get lost. When sheep are feeding, they often just keep their head down and they just graze and graze and graze, and before you know it, they're separated from the flock. Or they have no idea where they are. And so a wandering sheep might panic. They might do stupid things and make the situation worse and get themselves into trouble, and they get caught in a thorn bush or fall into a ravine or who knows what else might happen. And when the sheep gets into trouble, they usually get hurt. And well, the shepherd will find them and clean the wound or pour oil on it or some kind of antiseptic, and so it will try to get it to heal quickly. Sheep by nature are kind of afraid. They startle easily. If one sheep gets spooked, often the other sheep will get spooked and they don't even know why. So a sheep might be grazing and they just hear a leaf rustle. Pops his head up because he didn't know what it is, right? Oh, is that a rattlesnake? Is it a wolf? He starts to run. And the other sheep are looking around going, whoa, Freddy's running. There must be something wrong. We better run too. And so they all start to run, and then they're all going to maybe run into a ditch or a ravine or get run over, or a bunch of them get hurt. Who knows? Several of them are going to get separated and lost. And so the shepherd wants to give the sheep a sense of peace and safety. We're sheep. Jesus is our shepherd. As our shepherd, the Bible tells us that we should know Jesus' voice. And we know that he does know our name. But Jesus saw this crowd as sheep without a shepherd. They were in a dangerous world as vulnerable, not very wise people with bad or no spiritual leadership. And these people are distressed, and Jesus wants to alleviate their distress. And so he has compassion on them. And I want you to notice the first thing we see that he does to help their problem, he teaches them. First thing he does is he just teaches them. Jesus has compassion on those who wander. Thousands of stray sheep, lost people, all in one big crowd. They need direction. They don't know where they're going. They need someone to lead them home. And Jesus gives them direction. He's teaching the word. We don't know exactly what he's teaching. I would imagine Jesus taught a lot of the same messages in different places he went. At least the messages would have a lot of the same components. And Luke says Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God. And so they're getting gospel truth from Jesus. You know, our world is full of lost sheep. Jesus is the way, but they're going a different way. And it doesn't lead to peace or joy. And it doesn't lead them home. And many people want to follow their own way. They want to do what is right in their own eyes. Others are just simply following another lost sheep that's going to lead them into danger. You know, our culture has a very skewed view of compassion. Jesus saw a hurting crowd of people, and he had compassion. He began to teach them his word, the truth. Our culture turns the truth upside down. They call lies truth and claim it's compassion. And they call God's truth lies and claim that that is hurtful. This is probably most obvious these days in what people are saying about human sexuality. And so the culture tells us that we must affirm a lie in order to be compassionate. Well, I don't think you can get farther from Jesus than by affirming a lie. We don't have to be nasty about it. In fact, we're supposed to not be nasty about it, but be truthful in a loving, respectful, and compassionate way. You know, let's say you ran across someone looking for directions, and they just say they want to go to Oklahoma City. And you tell them, well, you need to head south. You know, hit this road, go south. They say, well, I don't want to go south. I want to go north. And you could just say, fine, go north then. Good luck with that. Wash your hands of the whole thing. Would that be compassionate? Not really. Or we could pull out a map. We could show them on the map where they are. Show them where Oklahoma City is. See, that's south. Okay. Tell them that they can go north, but they'll waste a lot of time. They're going to waste a lot of gas and money. And they're still not going to get where they want to be. Now, they may still choose to go the wrong direction, but at least you told the truth, which is the compassionate option. Look at our town, our county. Every person who doesn't know Jesus is lost. They're going the wrong direction. They're not reading the map. They're all trying to get somewhere. They're trying to get to a place of rest, a place of peace or safety or security. Maybe even their destination is wrong. They want that security, but their destination's wrong. And the truth would teach them that their destination should be Jesus. Well, maybe they think they're following Jesus, but they're going the wrong direction. They're really following the world. The least compassionate thing we could do is tell them, just keep going the way you're going, even when we know it leads to death. And so Jesus has compassion on those who wander. He wants them to go in the right direction. He wants to bring them home. Jesus has compassion on those with troubles. Wandering sheep get into trouble. That is, they find themselves in dangerous situations. A sheep that wanders finds him or herself outside of the safety of the flock. They're outside of the watching eye of the shepherd, and they're easily picked off by predators. I received a letter at church last month. from a man living in Oklahoma, but he had been baptized in this church sometime in the early 70s. And he wanted his name removed from the membership at the church here. And the reason he wanted his name removed is because he said that he began studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. It broke my heart to hear. I have no idea who a man is. But he wanted a response from us to make sure that we got the letter. The letter just sat on my desk for a couple weeks. I just prayed about it, prayed about the best way to handle it. And finally, I responded by saying that we can honor his wishes. However, that this decision puts his very soul in danger by following a false religion. And I included some of the reasons that Jehovah's Witnesses are considered to be a cult by Bible-believing Christians. Told him that I was praying that God would lead him back to the truth. See, he was a wandering sheep, and now the lions are trying to pick him off. He's in danger. He doesn't even realize it. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we should be self-controlled and alert. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And that is the danger a wandering sheep finds themselves in. And while this account doesn't mention it, many of the places that mention Jesus healing people usually go hand in hand with saying that he also cast out demons. Jesus looked out at this crowd and saw lost people. And some of those people followed the world. Some of them followed pagan religions or power or money. Some of them followed Jehovah God, but they were doing it from a misconstrued understanding that came from the Pharisees. They were there, but they weren't following him yet. A lot of them were there for the show. And they knew they were missing something, so they flocked. But Jesus wanted them in the fold, and the enemy wanted to keep them out. You know, Jesus said of Satan, he says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. The enemy came to bring death and destruction. Jesus came to stand in between us and the enemy. And the very next verse in John, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The dangers that we face for not following or living under the good shepherd are many. People get themselves into alcohol and drugs and false religions and no religion. Sexual promiscuity, bad relationships. You know, the most dangerous is the eternal condemnation we live under if we don't follow the good shepherd Jesus. But a shepherd offers security and safety for the flock. It doesn't mean that if we're under Jesus that we have safety from every little bad thing that might happen. But we have security in him. And if we follow the shepherd, we can confidently approach his throne of grace. And we know that we will find help in our time of need. Now Matthew's account tells us that when they landed, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And so Jesus has compassion on those who hurt. He has compassion on those who hurt. Sheep that wander get hurt. A shepherd's job is to heal those hurts. A shepherd looks over each sheep every day. You know, Jesus knows your heart, and he knows your hurts. You're always before him. And when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't heal every single person. He certainly doesn't today. He can. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can. He's still just as powerful. But the greater disease, and this disease Jesus will heal of everyone who receives him by faith, it's the disease of the soul. He forgave the paralytic's sin before he ever healed him and made him walk. The psalmist said that the Lord forgives your sins and heals your diseases. Notice what comes first, forgiving your sins. Now, we have a lot more hurts than just our physical bodies. We get hurt in all kinds of ways. We have scars, emotional scars, relational scars, physical scars. Do you know what scars are? They're a sign that something has healed. In my early 20s, I was playing a pickup game of football. It was tackle, none of that sissy flag stuff, right? It was the 80s, okay? So we were just a bunch of friends and people we knew, and we were just banging on each other, and I was going out for a pass. I was about to catch this pass, and this kid he's coming toward me. He thinks he's going to pick off the pass, and I'm just enough taller than he was that when I jumped and he jumped, and his head just hit right up under my chin. And I mean, it split it wide open. And so I'm there just in the middle of a park field and got blood coming out of my chin. And of course, I didn't want to show any pain, right? We didn't want to do that. I wanted to man up on this thing. I'm not saying it was a smart thing to do, all right? I'm not saying that this is what being a man is, but this is my 21-year-old psyche. And so I just start wiping my chin. I said, I'm still playing, you know, and I'm just wiping my chin. Blood's all over my sleeves and stuff. And it was hurting, man. My head was ringing and stuff. But I kept playing. Didn't want to stop. Finally, by the time we were done, it wasn't really bleeding anymore. It was just kind of oozy. And got home and I looked in the mirror. It was just this big old, it was horrible looking. And I don't even remember if I got stitches now. But that was an open wound. It hurt. Okay? It hurt. Now I have a scar. Doesn't hurt anymore. Reminds me of what happened. I'll never forget what happened. But it doesn't hurt anymore. Think of your scars as where Jesus has already brought the healing. The fact that we are a scarred up people tells us the good shepherd's been looking out for us. Now some of you, and those outside these walls too, of course, you still got some open wounds. You're not all the way healed over. It's still hurting. You need to let Jesus bring his compassion to you and get you to a healing place. He already knows what you're going through. Submit to his tender care. Let him heal the raw pain of the brokenness in your life. Now, whether we're lost or in danger or hurt, most of the situations that we're in that bring us pain or confusion, they create fear. And so Jesus has compassion for those who fear. You know, a shepherd brings peace and encouragement to his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The good shepherd takes me to places of peace and safety. And the psalmist wrote thousands of years ago, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the stuff that's happening in our world, it's some scary stuff. And stuff that's happening in your life, maybe it's health, financial, legal, something unknown on the horizon. The shepherd is walking with you through that. Just stay next to him. Just follow him. Stay close. He has compassion for you in everything you go through. He sees your distress. He wants to eliminate your distress at its deepest point in your heart. We need God's compassion. But you know what? We also need to be compassionate. Jesus spends the day teaching and healing, and he's speaking to these folks' deepest need. And it's getting toward evening, and they're in the middle of nowhere, and the apostles tell Jesus, you need to get rid of these people so we can get something to eat. And it says Jesus saw the crowd with eyes of compassion, and at the end of the day, he says, you give them something to eat. The apostles, they're like, Walmart will be closing in 10 minutes. Make your last selection. You know, hit the checkout stand now. Get out of here. That's what the apostles want. Jesus is teaching them to rely on him. And he's teaching them compassion. He knows the situation. And yet he says, you give them something to eat. What? That's going to cost 8 or 9 months' wages. We can't afford that. And, you know, not all compassion issues are solved with money. But God just wants us to make what we do or what we have be available to him. He can do the rest. John's gospel tells it this way. Jesus looked up and he saw the great crowd coming to him. And he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people? And it says he asked this only to test him because he already knew what he was going to do. A boy makes his lunch available. 5 loaves, probably about the size of a pita bread, something like that. 2 fish. I don't know, fishettes. These are small fish, salted and dried, or roasted so they could carry them and not smell too bad or rot. That's all they got. And Jesus has them sit in groups of 50s and hundreds, and it says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. Now, I don't care how small you divide these 5 loaves, there is not enough for everybody to even get a crumb. You could not feed that many people, but Jesus prayed a blessing over it, and it just kept coming. It just kept coming. Not only was the food divided among them, they got full. It says that they all ate and were satisfied. Well, how do we know for sure they were all full? Well, they had 12 baskets of leftovers. I don't know about you, but for me, if I'm still hungry, there's no leftovers. Okay? I'm making sure those are going to be gone. This isn't the case, as some claim, that when the boy gave up his lunch, everybody kind of had this, oh, isn't that sweet? And they all kind of pulled out their hidden lunch as well. No. This is creative power. This isn't a case where there was not quite enough food, so people took smaller portions or they skipped eating so others could have a meal. No, it says all ate, all were satisfied. This is creative power. The God who created the universe took molecules of bread, and he just made more molecules. And he didn't even need the bread to start with. He could have done it without. And it says that those who ate were about 5,000, besides women and the children. That means there could have been easily 15,000 people there. And none of the Gospels tell us exactly how this worked. That's what I want to know. How did it look? Did they give out handfuls of food and the baskets never got empty? What happened? Don't know. But Jesus used a little boy who was compassionate enough, generous enough to give what he had. And Jesus did the rest. You know, God is so compassionate, but he might want to use you to alleviate the distress of others. Maybe you're part of healing the open wound in someone else. Maybe you're the listening ear. Maybe you're the one that's going to, the gift that will help a financial hardship, the visitor to the sick or the prisoner. You know, multiplying the loaves is more than about feeding empty bellies. Christ's compassion goes so much deeper than that. The next day, this is the next day, all right? Jesus, the crowd finds Jesus because they're not leaving him alone. And Jesus told them, you aren't seeking me because of the signs, but because your bellies got full. Don't work just for food that perishes. Work for food that's eternal. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. His compassion in meeting an earthly need was a step toward meeting his soul need. Now, in between those 2 days, overnight, Jesus had gone alone to pray, and the apostles they got in the boat. They're going to row to the other side of the sea. And another storm arose, and they're trying to row into a wind, and they were getting nowhere. And so Jesus just walks out to them on the waves, on top of the water. You know, Jesus had created matter itself, and now he suspended the law of gravity. He's just walking out on top of the water without sinking. The apostles saw him. They thought he was a ghost. And Jesus was going to walk past them and just beat them to the other side. But he saw that they were terrified. And so we get to see his compassion toward his closest followers. It says, they all saw him and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, Mark's gospel leaves out the part about Peter walking on the water. We find that in Matthew. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, have me come out to you on the water. And Jesus says, well, come on. And so Peter steps out and he doesn't sink. He takes the step, still not sinking. How cool is this? But he begins to look around. He looks at his circumstances instead of looking at Jesus. And no wonder so many people live in fear. We look at the world around us instead of Jesus. Now, we shouldn't ignore our situation, but our first focus is to fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we're walking toward him or with him on the choppy waves in this life or through the valley of the shadow of death, look at Jesus, and he's going to give you what you need to keep walking. The courage, the strength, the patience, whatever, he equips you to walk through this life. And fear doesn't have to be a part of that when you live in faith. And so Peter begins to focus on his surroundings, and it says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. You know, Jesus challenged Peter's trust in him in this. And then when Peter faltered, Jesus acted right away. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so finally, Jesus has compassion on those who doubt. James tells us the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed by the winds. We're told over and over, don't doubt, but have faith. Believe. But even when we doubt, Jesus has compassion. Thomas doubted about the resurrection. And Jesus let him stew in that for a little while, but he revealed himself to Thomas eventually. Peter's faith faltered. Jesus immediately reached out to save him. A man whose son was possessed asked Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Man, what a great prayer. We can even ask God to help our own unbelief, and he will compassionately act on our behalf. Paul writes to Timothy this way, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. This isn't about someone who has left the faith, but a child of God who in a moment is unfaithful or doubting. Jesus' very nature is love and compassion. And even when we have doubts, he is compassionate. He can't violate his own nature. Everyone wants to know that someone cares. God does more than you can imagine. In God's compassion, we see love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and patience. And yet none of us really deserve it. We are that wandering sheep. In fact, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. On the Lord, all of our sins, our issues, our hurts, our fears, our doubts, they're upon the shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you're here today, if you're a sheep without a shepherd, let me just tell you, sheep don't survive very very long that way. You need Jesus. Okay, if you don't have that saving faith, you need Jesus. You need to come to him in faith. You need to believe. You need to repent. You need to be baptized. You need to confess him. You need to receive Christ. Live your life under the care of the good shepherd. If you're a sheep in the flock, but you've been wandering a little bit, Return to the shepherd. And he will welcome you with open arms. And no matter where you are in the flock, you need to be close to the shepherd. You need to be in the Word. You need to get to know His heart more and more. Live in the love and the compassion of Jesus. Live every day. Open your day with Him. Close your day with Him. Walk with Him all day long. Have that shepherd right next to you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the kindness. Lord, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank you for the kindness that leads us back to you, that leads us to turn away from wandering in the wrong direction and turn back toward the shepherd. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for knowing us by name. Thank you for healing all of our diseases and healing our very souls. And Lord, I just pray that we can live that faithful life to you, with you. But thank you that even when we have moments of doubt, you're compassionate and you forgive and you bring us right back in. So we're thankful that even though we're sheep, you condescend to be our shepherd. And for that, we just pray that you have all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.